Mike is kind of the podcast mother.
Thanks. Thanks, kids. Better behave or we'll turn this podcast around.
Turn it off right now.
Hey, welcome to episode 181 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm Nick. I'm here with Blake.
Hello, Nick.
And special guest slash pseudo Paul Fabian.
I'm back.
Returning guest.
Yep.
Slash Sorry. Paul replacement.
Yeah.
Is this?
We're not swapping them out.
Is Paul doing a Severn?
No.
You have to just keep listening to find out.
Who knows?
Tune in next week.
Well, 2 weeks from now, but... Yeah. Sorry, you're only temporary. So it's, I mean, or is he? We don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
You guys, we've been starting off with questions lately. Should I start off with some questions?
Hit it.
All right. This is from MSAUKA. Msauka?
Yep, sure.
Okay.
Sounds right.
They say, please check Manor Lords and let us know what you think about it.
Never heard of it.
We know for a fact Blake's been playing a lot of Manor Lords because he sends some very amusing screenshots of a very amusing name that can randomly generate in that game.
If we talk about that name, does it make this podcast, do I have to hit the explicit
spell
button
it out.
On
it's,
the podcast?
I found an article that verifies that it is a
legit name.
A temporally accurate name. This is a name that was popular during the time period that the game takes place.
It's popular now, too.
Yeah, it is.
It's spelled C-U-N-T-Z or Z, depending on your country.
Kunz.
Maybe
it is Kunz.
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 Yeah, that's probably right.
Kunz. Well, that's where we're going to go with.
Kunz.
Kunz. And then what? He got sick?
And he got sick, yeah. I looked in my manor, and I was like, oh, Kunz is hanging out there. And I was like, oh. So I had some sick Kunz.
Was he fully sick?
Yeah.
That might be a very...
That's Aussie and New Zealand.
Yeah, very localized lingo there.
I don't know. I've never heard that in England, because England has the same...
Vernacular?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's only America where it's a bad word.
No, it's a bad
it's
word
It's a
everywhere.
Bad word here.
No,
like,
it's
you
not.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Nah, if you're a good kunz,
Aiden Cici says...
If you're a sick kunz, it's good.
Aiden Cici says, Helldivers 2 is such a huge breath of fresh air. I recommend it to anyone. The absolute level of insane nonsense that can happen at any given time is impossible to describe. At any given moment, any member of your team can call in airstrikes, MOABs, orbital cannons, lasers, new secondary weapons, one of them fires cluster bombs, auto turrets, and a mech suit. Every single thing in the game has friendly fire turned on, and you use these to blow up robots and bugs the size of shopping centers made of guns. It's amazing. That does sound fun. I still didn't buy it. But we will, at Blake's insistence, be talking about...
Oh, we don't have to.
It's fine. But it was at Blake's insistence. We'll be talking about some of the drama that happened between the last time we talked about it, which is last episode, and this episode. All right, one last question. This is from Slippery Jim 8. Says, on the topic of X4, not sure if I ever got around to recommending Avorion. You played Avorion,
I did,
you?
Yes.
Slippery Jim says, it's a build-your-own spaceship game with mining, fighting, and all that. Gets big brain when you get into fleet management. AI traders, miners, salvaging, cargo, fleets, drone swarms, aliens, factories, ships that make ships, rogue AI, random encounters, asteroid bases, misjudging the depth of field, kamikazing onto an asteroid, setting the collision DPS... to 10% in the settings.
Sounds like Blake's kind of game.
And it even has an ending. Somewhere around the 80-hour mark if you try to speedrun it. That's pretty cool.
How much did I talk about it? Because I played it years ago with some of the Rocket Work guys.
I don't remember how much you talked about it on the podcast, but I remember you telling me that you guys... I remember someone was spending a lot of time making their ship really look cool.
Yes, that was me.
I'm pretty sure it was Chris H.
Yeah.
Who then just made, he discovered that the most efficient ship is just a cube.
Yeah, I think all the Rocket Work guys just made cubes because they were the most efficient, and I am spending hours making the coolest looking ship.
Yeah.
And then I fly into a system and I see this giant Borg cube just destroying a station, and a station that I had to hand in a quest at. And then they blew it up, and I was just like,
"That's right,
great."
It's starting to come back to me. This is also a game where I think you were saying that it would only load certain areas of the universe that you were in.
And yeah,
you had big trade routes set up.
Yes,
that wouldn't load because there weren't.
We'd maxed out the number of systems that server could have active at the same time. And going into it, I didn't know there was a limit to it.
Yeah.
So I just started doing my trade empire thing. Yeah. And then suddenly I'm hitting this like limit thing that is like really hampering my game because it means there's stuff that I want running that's not running.
Yeah.
And then it also is hampering other people because it's like when they load into a new area, it basically has to unload one of these, one of my systems, and load in theirs, and they're like the whole thing started to fall apart because I just made a bunch of stations.
Yep. So that honestly, I mean, it sounds like a fun game. It sounds more fun single player.
I would actually be really keen to play that again, like single player because it has that X4 vibe, and I actually ended up buying X4 after playing that too because I was like, gave me a taste of like
you got the itch, space itch,
and like I hadn't gone back to it, but now I think enough time has passed that I'm like, I could really get back into that quite a lot.
You need a space Kinshi.
Oh yes,
I mean it almost is like you do start off in like it's like in X4 or in Kinshi, you start off in like some little thing with like nothing and everyone can beat you, and then eventually you have giant fleets of ships that you've made yourself, like you've actually built yourself and designed yourself, and like because it's all like voxel type thing, like and you can make some really cool looking stuff, and like what you make things out of like matters too because there's different materials and stuff, so you actually like it's not just aesthetics, but if you just want to go min max, it's like just make a big cube.
I want to hear more about Mannerlords in a minute, but first let's talk about the big controversy, the big thing that everyone's been talking about the last couple weeks.
Right.
That's right. It's the Kendrick and Drake beef. No, I'm kidding. It is the...
Actually, could you? Because I don't know anything about that. Like...
I do know a little bit, but we're a video game podcast, and that we always only talk about video games, right? Historically, we've never talked about anything else.
Yeah, we talk about breaking news 2 weeks after it happened.
Yes, that's right. So Helldivers.
Yeah.
We last episode, Fabian was on.
Yep.
We were talking about extraction shooters.
Yep.
You love Helldivers.
I do.
Big ups to Helldivers. Blake and I both resolved to buy it. I don't think either of us bought it.
I mean, look, Mannerlords came out.
Like... And I just didn't.
That's fine. You have a life. That's the that's your thing.
I got stuff going on.
Yeah,
I got things to do. Then shortly after that, almost as if I feel like this has happened in the past where we've talked about games
and something
with glowing thing, like glowing intent, and then like before the next podcast happens, it all turns to
something crazy happens.
Yeah. So they I guess had to. They had some contractual obligation to require that players link their account, regardless of what platform they bought the game on, to their Sony Online account.
Yeah, that's right.
Which a lot of people did not like. And then, and a lot of this, as an outsider, felt like mountains out of molehills, except that there are some regions. Of course, there are no Sony Online accounts where the game was being sold.
Yeah, I suppose that was probably the biggest issue, right?
Those are the real mountains.
Yeah.
Everyone else complaining about, I need to do another thing. There's another login. It's annoying, but this is, it's just a little annoying.
It was also something that was planned from the beginning, but
they did not communicate that well. They let you skip it
at the start. Yeah.
And the implication was that you would have to do it at some point,
and then
it just suddenly snuck up on them.
Yeah.
So big hullabaloo about this. I saw the ratings, review scores on Steam went from like overwhelmingly positive to mediocre or something.
No, it was overwhelmingly negative at its worst.
That was the recent reviews, but the overall scores went like below.
Oh, really?
Below 50 or about 50%, but not much below. But still, that is a massive drop off.
It was huge. They like dropped it, I don't know, in the recent review, something like 250,000.
Yep.
negative reviews. That's crazy.
I've heard. Well, and then Sony reversed their decision.
Yeah, but they still haven't opened the game back up to the countries that are restricted to PSN.
Yes,
so you can still play it if you bought it, but I don't think you can buy it now in those regions.
Yeah.
And they added three more regions like in the past 3 days.
Yeah.
And people are getting annoyed about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real madness is that like you've bought a game and now this publisher is like, actually, you can't play it.
Yeah. That was the problem.
Yeah.
It's like people spent however much the game is in their region to buy it.
Yeah.
And then they can't play it suddenly because of the PSN account. So they walk that PSN account back. But now people can't buy the game in those regions. Mm. So they think that. People are speculating that Sony was just bullshitting.
I mean, it's if Sony had planned this from the beginning, it's surprising to me that they would have even...
Why even sell it there if they already planned it?
So, it's interesting. I've also seen recently that Ghosts of Tsushima?
Yeah.
Had some partially online components that also required a Sony online thing that are... Steam is no longer selling... in those specific regions and is refunding people who in those specific regions because of this thing that if you don't have a Sony online account, you can't, these parts of Ghost of Tsushima will not work.
Yeah. You can't do multiplayer.
This feels like Sony doesn't understand the online ecosystem at all.
Mm.
And what they're using the stick when they should be using the carrot.
Yeah.
Right. It should be a case of this is this game. You can play it. You can do whatever you want. If you have a Sony Online account and you link it up, we'll give you a cool cosmetic.
Yeah.
Or you'll unlock this neat little feature.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we get to gobble up all your data. That would be the strategy that wouldn't be maddening to use.
Yeah.
The strategy they've chosen is do it or we take the game away.
Yeah, it's like they sat down and were like, what's the worst way we can do this?
Let's really spring it on them.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that people have already bought the game before we say that they can't use it.
Yeah.
And it's only 177 countries, guys.
It is not good.
No.
And I also read, and I don't know the veracity of this, so here we go guessing.
Oh, cool.
That the community manager for Helldivers, the original community manager, I think it was someone called Spitz.
Yep. He demoted.
Demoted or fired?
Demoted from community manager.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if he was fired. There's nothing mentioned about fired, but he's no longer a community manager.
I think what this individual did was maybe sketchy from a business point of view, in which I think they basically said, if you don't like it, vote with your wallet or something to that effect, or you know,
you can
post a bad review. I don't care.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Something to that effect. But I also think that honesty is the best policy when it comes to community management. And that was a very honest response.
Yeah, he went full human.
Full human.
Yeah.
And I guess when it comes to Sony, you never go full human.
No, never. Mm. You need your PR speak.
Yeah. Yep. I've worked with like people from Sony in the past. Mm. Sony has lots of weird control issues.
Yeah.
This is also, I think, quite common amongst Japanese game developers. The way they treat overseas markets is obviously very secondary to Japan.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that's the case for a lot of companies, just generally treating their home country better than other countries. But it's particularly pronounced for these Japanese developers because the worldwide market is so much larger, and yet so many games are produced in Japan. Mm. So you kind of notice this stark contrast.
Yep.
It's not great. And I think that they put themselves at peril as a business if they stick to their guns like this.
Definitely. I think it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
That they're just restricting countries to games, things like that. Like, if you don't have the... I don't know, if Sony doesn't have the rights to use PSN in that country, just say you can't use it here or something, and just let them still buy the game and play the game, and then the multiplayer portion maybe isn't playable. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know the right solution, but...
I think the right solution is just give them a bonus for doing the thing you want.
Mm.
Don't make it the requirement.
Yeah.
When it is that restrictive, when it is you cannot do the game, that is a... You're not really selling a product anymore. You are bribing for a service.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reeks of that, like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, where they're just like, we'll just
have your money already. Yeah. What are you going to refund? Oh, you are? Oh, no, stop.
I know, it's exactly that. That's exactly it.
Well, at least Steam is covering consumers on that part, which is good.
So Steam is, there's this, this is a weird tangent, but there's this thing in evolutionary biology where generalist species tend to do much better than specialist species.
Mm-hmm.
You know, humans are sort of the ultimate generalists.
Yep.
They can survive in any landscape with a multitude of diets using tools and our big juicy brains.
Yeah, we're pretty great.
Yeah. but then there are species that live on one island, eating one plant, and then anything that disrupts that, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you have Steam as the generalist.
Mm.
They are very open about their business practices to some degree. Like, it is like, you know, they will refund. They have a very open, like, review system and release system and pricing system. Like, people set their own prices. There are, you know, there are restrictions. You can't switch regions to get a lower price, that kind of thing. They don't let you try and scam them. But that's all kind of fair enough. But then you have the, like, console-specific or platform-specific markets. Your Sony's, your Nintendo's, your Epic.
Yep.
Online, your EA Origins.
Yep.
Ubisoft,
whatever that one is.
Exactly. Yeah. They start trying to make only their games available on those platforms, or their games only available on those platforms. They put all these restrictions in, lots of DRM, and it's all specialized to prevent consumers from pirating at the cost of actually getting consumers.
Yeah. I mean, we went through that like 10 years ago, right? When there was the whole DRM thing. And
it's still going. It's still going. There's so many games that have DRM.
It just seemed like the way you, and piracy in general, the way you defeat it or the way you minimize it is just paying for it simpler and easier than pirating it. But they didn't do that. They put in all these extra steps that, like, oh, if for whatever reason some server is down, you just can't play any of those games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that on an Ubisoft game, where it was like one of the Far Cries. I go to load it in, and it's just like, their servers are down, so I can't play anything. And it's like, that's a single-player game.
Yep.
And you're like, cool, you've just like...
You lost a customer.
Yeah.
Like, do you buy Ubisoft games anymore?
No.
I haven't bought an Ubisoft game.
Well, anymore. I always like question whether or not it's going to be too much of a hassle, you know? Like, I'd be interested in playing some of those newer Far Cry games, but I'm like, what is my Ubisoft account? Do I even still need to log into it? Like,
you do. But I bought it on, I think I bought the latest Far Cry on Steam.
Yeah.
And you go to your Steam library, press play, then it opens up Ubisoft in the background and loads that, like, then it loads the game through that.
Like, so the DRM is already defeated because you're buying it through Steam.
So,
but they're doing like an extra thing anyway.
I've been playing Cyberpunk and The Witcher.
Yeah.
And they also open a launcher, which you can bypass.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't require you to sign in. You can just, it's just like, you skip it. You get incentives, in fact, if you sign it. I haven't done it.
It's GOG, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're another fairly open, I would say, fair to the consumer platform. Talking about, like, the era of DRM, it is still ongoing. And also, more so, I think, the quality of some of these game publishers, their output has gone precipitously down in the last, like, since the era of DRM and their own marketplace.
Yeah.
Ubisoft being sort of the prime example. Yeah. So many of their games come out broken, half-developed.
Yeah.
So many of their Assassin's Creed games, like, I watch compilations of weird graphical bugs, faces twitching, no skin, just eyes floating in a mouth, you know, that kind of thing. And they've been going on for years and years. Every single Assassin's Creed game is a broken mess for the first
time. It's because they still sell like crazy. Like, people still buy them, and they have set schedules by the publisher that they have to hit. And they're just like, we're okay with janky gameplay for the first couple weeks because people will buy it anyway.
But how long can that be the case?
I mean, that's the question, really, right?
Does goodwill evaporate?
Yeah. I mean, Bethesda, right? I've very much, a lot of my goodwill towards them has evaporated over the last few.
Didn't buy any Fallout or...
I didn't buy Fallout 76 because I thought 4 was a janky mess. Yep. And then Starfield, I was right not to buy it because that's also a janky mess and wasn't really the game that looked like it was going to be anyway.
Yeah. What we all expected was basically Skyrim in space.
Yeah.
And instead it is...
I mean, what is it?
Like Skyrim for babies in space.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell.
If I go to a planet and then run through a barren landscape for like 5 minutes to some point.
I just remember seeing those early trailers and watching the gun combat and thinking, oh, this is boring. How did you make guns boring? It's like the classic fun thing to do.
They've got Fallout and the gunplay in that is not boring. But also, I guess the gunplay in that,
it's almost a tactical.
The thing is, you got your tactical, that pause thing. Yeah. But the guns in that are wacky.
Yeah.
Like, you're firing a mini nuke at people. Right. Like, you've got, like, ridiculous, like, weapons.
Yeah.
And if Starfield is supposed to be a little more grounded sci-fi, it's just lasers.
I think you Although do I've get never some played it,
so I don't know.
But it's just the gameplay is repetitive.
Mm.
The sort of central thing that people play Bethesda games for is the world and the exploration of the world.
Yeah.
And what they did for Starfield was say, forget about all that. All the world's going to be randomly generated.
Yeah,
you're going to go there. You don't know what you're going to find. And it's but that's opposite of what I want. I want to explore and discover and not have it be random.
They should have known that, like, No Man's Sky clearly showed this to everyone, that you can't just have a procedural universe, no matter how big it is. Like, handcrafted stuff.
Are you saying that No Man's Sky isn't the perfect game?
It's never been the perfect game. When did I ever say that?
I think every single day.
I do wake up in the morning and just shout.
It's your mantra.
Yeah. I look at myself in the mirror and just scream it. Hype myself up for the day.
No Man's Sky is the perfect game. Good night, Blake. You say that to yourself.
Yeah. As I fall asleep I whisper it to myself.
Little picture of yourself on a bedside table that you kiss.
Yeah. Picture of No Man's Sky. Picture of the No Man's Sky.
You holding No Man's Sky.
Yeah, me holding a copy of No Man's Sky.
You kiss both.
It's like the Wolverine picture. But it's
Yeah, it's exactly that.
The Wolverine meme.
Yeah.
It's a picture of me holding a picture of No Man's Sky.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Helldivers. Am I right, guys? That's Helldivers.
That's the drama.
I mean, yeah, but the good, I guess, like, sort of a happy ending, right? Because they did reverse it, if we didn't.
They're in a limbo at this point. They reversed it, but then there's all these regions.
That I mean, it's a reluctant reversal, right? It's like they're not doing this because they realize, oh, we made a mistake. They're doing it because, like,
sales are going to be bad.
It's going to affect.
Yeah. It's a classic. We've heard your feedback.
Yes. Oh my god.
And here's the changes we're making.
What did I see
for this game?
I saw some tweet by someone from Sony about this saying, like, we're still learning
how a live service game should be run.
It's like,
how long have they been doing it?
World of Warcraft came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, look after your customers and look after you.
Freaking Sony, who have a console for like what, 30 something years now. Some of it wasn't online, but they're the biggest, like, one of the biggest game producers in the entire world. And they're like, we're still learning. We're still learning the ins and outs of this, man. It's a new thing, you know? Yeah. Like, hey, we're still early, you know?
Helldivers was a success, and we don't know what success is.
Yeah. We didn't know how to handle it, so we tried to milk it.
We've got this lightning in a bottle, and then we opened the bottle, and now the lightning's out, and we don't know what to do. Please help.
Please just stop bombing it, please. Like, that's it.
Manor Lords. Yeah, tell me about it.
Man, it is...
Or Lords.
Man or Lords.
Man.
Or Lords.
Yeah. It's great. It's, I don't even know where to start.
Start with, take me through the actual process of your gameplay.
Okay,
you start off, you choose a character.
You start off, you choose, like, your lord, which has very little, really, effect in it. It's just a portrait in the corner, and that's it, and you can name them and whatever.
Does your lord have an avatar? Like, does he walk around?
You can walk around, but it's there's actually no reason to do it. Other than like, oh, look, I'm in third person walking around my village.
Do you have an age? Like, do you grow up?
No.
Do you
are an endless You're an endless being.
Okay, and do your citizens age or anything?
No.
Okay,
they so don't. It's very static that way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but so you start off very much like regular kind of village management games. You've got like a small group of villagers, and then the first task is to get ready for winter.
Yeah.
And so you need to build the facilities.
Yeah, get your woolly boots on.
Yeah, yeah. You need to build the things that they need to survive the winter, and that's basically the first goal. Yeah, woolen boots, sure.
Mittens.
Yeah. Oh. So there is a little bit of a build order that you need.
Yeah, boots, then mittens.
Yeah, sure.
And then a hat.
And then a hat. Yeah. And then maybe a coat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you.
I'm sorry. Am I putting you off?
You are putting me off.
Oh, that is
just constantly saying mittens and mittens. Mittens. You know what? There's no mittens in the game.
Beanie.
There's no beanies. There's boots though. No. Yeah.
Nailed it the first time.
When your lord spawns in, he's got a nice red cape.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got like.
Is it woolen?
It looks like.
To wash it on low?
Velvet, maybe? I don't know.
A velvet cape?
I don't know. I don't know. It looks very.
He's a rich lord and he's got poor villagers.
It's very. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point. You do feel like that when you spawn in with your character and he is like a real, like, fancy decked out lord and your villagers are just like.
Plebs.
Please, my lord. Please, yeah. Let me touch your cape.
But there's no interaction with your like avatar and the thing. I think the dev probably just put that in there because hey, I could do this, and it's kind of neat to like walk around your village and stuff.
And I'm gonna spend a week modeling this cape.
Physics on the cape.
Yeah,
which is pretty nuts. Like, there's a lot of work went into that character.
Yeah,
maybe they'll do more with it in the future, but I don't know. I mean, because the world doesn't interact whatsoever with your character. Like, there can be a massive battle happening between your forces.
You just walk in the middle
of it. And you can just walk in the middle of it, and no one affects you.
Can't hit him with your cape.
You can't do anything. You cannot do anything other than walk.
Can't fire a fireball.
You can't fire a fireball.
Okay. It'd be nice if your playing as your lord would actually be how you do diplomacy with people. You have to go and meet them and stuff like that.
That'd be interesting, yeah. So... that's another thing, because this is early access. They do not have any diplomacy whatsoever. They have the facade of diplomacy because you can go to
so it's based on real life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe it's true. Maybe it is a commentary on the real world. Because you can go to the world map and you can see, well, the region map, I guess, and you can see the bandits and the other opposing lord that you're in like conflict with, and you can send them just one message.
Okay,
like it's presented as if there's an option of messages and tabs. Uh-huh. There's only one thing you can say,
right? And it is, please don't hurt me.
But, I mean, it's
look
either
at my velvet cape and mittens.
Yeah, it's basically that kind of thing. And then you drag the sentence to a an image of like paper. So it's like you're writing
drag it.
Yeah, you're like writing it. And I do know that what is planned is that you construct a letter based on these like paragraphs.
I love that idea.
But there's only like one paragraph.
I love that idea, but I think that is an interesting idea.
Mm.
That's going to be a hard one to make it feel natural. And also, once you solve the puzzle of what you want to do, it's going to be more of an annoying
puzzle. I know. That's the worry, right? Is that it just feels like, oh, I know the sequence of things. Yes. Drag, 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 drag. You know, and then that's it.
Yeah.
What you really want is that they actually really have personalities that respond to different things that you're saying.
Yeah, some back and forth would be nice, you know.
So, like, you could have... I mean, this would be cool. You could have, like, you know, a lord that is very militaristic or something. Uh-huh. And then so your things to him are very, you know, showing strength, you know, not trying to bargain, you know. Yeah. And if you send stuff that's, like, bargaining, that would show his weakness and they wouldn't, like. But you have to figure out this person's personality.
Yeah.
That would be cool, but that's not in the game yet.
Uh-huh. In Persona 5, when you want to try and catch a persona...
Mm.
You have to go through a little dialogue mini game.
You pick your one you want to say to them, right?
Yeah. And you get, I think, two chances typically.
Yep. Mm.
And it's neat the first time, and then you solve it.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like, I have to do this every time now.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Crusader Kings has moments where you have to use diplomacy in that similar way towards like one of the other characters. And you have to basically look at this character and you see kind of what their traits are.
Mm.
And, you know, if they're militaristic, if they're like a pacifist, or I mean, they're all inbred.
How's your sister? Still hot?
Yeah. And you pick a response. I actually spend quite a bit of time picking a response that would you think would resonate well with that person.
Yeah.
You know, because if they're a strong person, you want to show a thing of strength. If they're a mercantile person, it's like, hey, let's make a deal, you know? So that sort of diplomacy could be really, really cool in the game.
Yeah.
But currently, there's basically no diplomacy whatsoever.
Yep.
Other than this like facade of it, and all through the screen where it shows like your diplomacy, where you would craft this thing, it's just like work in progress, like all over the place. Like it literally just says work in progress, not in the game.
Sure.
And when a lord captures a region, so the map is made up into like 8 different regions, I think. And you can capture these regions before you have to capture them before you can build anything on them.
Okay.
And there's a lord that's off the map that is capturing regions. And when he goes to capture one, this box comes up that says he's capturing it. Here's a bar for how long it'll take. And here's 3 options.
Yep.
And one of them is like conflict, right? So you're like, I'm gonna go to war.
Go to war.
The other is like, there's like a diplomacy. And there's another one that's like something to do with like the king. So the idea is that you guys are not kings. You're lords of a region, you know? So you've got the king above it.
You can talk to his boss,
who is
also your boss.
All those 2 last options are just grayed out and say work in progress.
Mm.
You know? So you can only fight. You can only fight. And at the start, he'll show up with like 100-man strong army and you are like a village of like 3 houses. And you're like, well, I can't do anything about that. He's just going to take that.
Yeah.
And... he's working on this now, but that lord was like way too land grabby.
Okay.
And so by the time you even get your village into a decent, like it's flourishing, this lord has taken over all other regions.
Yeah.
And then fighting him means that you basically have to be able to raise like at least 100-man strong army. And
just to hold them off.
Yeah. And I played one game where he started claiming my region. And I was like, what? I live here. What? And then so I was like, you know,
mine now.
I went to confront him and he just shows up with this like 120-man army and I have 18 guys that I can raise.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there you go.
Cool. I quit that game.
Okay.
But there's been a recent patch where they're adjusting. Sure. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of like that sort of game mechanic stuff that I think needs to be like balanced and all that sort of thing. You can get attacked by raiders and it's like the strength and frequency of those raiders or even the direction that they come from, I think needs like some
calibrating.
Yeah. Calibrating. Cause when raiders show up, if they show up on the other side of the map and they'll make their way towards you, you've got time to prepare, but they could just show up in your territory and then you have no time to prepare. Right. And if your town is like kind of close to one of the borders, cause they show up on the borders of the map, they can just be in your town and burn down your entire town before you've even got your troops like ready to like organized. And you can't build walls yet, which is a little bit annoying.
Is that just not in the game?
That's just not in the game yet. You can build walls.
Feels like an early one you'd make.
You can't build walls and you can't build defense towers except your mana, so you can build a mana, and that mana gives you access to this garrisoned troop force that you pay money for, and you can upgrade them over time, and they'll gain experience, and they have like passives and stuff.
Okay,
So they're like your crack team, you know, they're your like top guys.
SEAL Team 6,
crack.
Yeah, they're cracked, but. All that stuff of them experience and that all work in progress doesn't work in game yet.
Okay,
so you can just buy them and they're like stronger than regular guys.
Hang on. Let's talk about the things that are in the game.
Okay, so
because this is a very popular game, but all of the things you told me so far are
It's not in the game.
So you start the game, and it's pretty likely a king is trying to take over your territory immediately.
Yep.
And you'll get three options, but only one of them works, and it is fight the guy.
Yeah.
And when you fight the guy, you're going to get stomped because none of that's calibrated. Also, in order to fight the guy, you have to drag a bunch of words onto a letter that do nothing.
You don't have to.
Okay.
But the very best
goal in the game.
You have a manor, and the manor has a bunch of dudes in it. And in theory, they'll grow stronger. Not right now.
But they are stronger than your regular troops.
Okay. So why is this game good?
It scratches that
village management
itch. And
yes, but there's lots of village management.
Yeah, I know.
Games,
but it does
where there is content.
It does. Yeah, I know. Well, a big comparison, right? Yeah. Is Farthest Frontier.
Yeah.
They've been in early access for quite a while as well, and they basically are going through the same production things.
Yeah.
As like they did a big bandit like update recently, sure, where they like, you know, so it's, I feel like it's going to follow that same path. But
so then which one would you play more?
I really like Manor Lords.
Yes.
And
it is beautiful looking.
It's a really nice looking game, and I think the combat in it is very cool. It's much, much better than Farthest Frontier or any other game because it's got a little bit of Total War in it where you're commanding these troops, not individual people. And that also goes for the villagers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you are not telling individual people, work at this logging camp, work at this mining camp. You are telling the families to work there.
Okay.
So you start the game with like five families.
Not just the adults, the children.
Children as well. Get them in the mines. Yes. So you start the game with like five families, which means you have five people basically that you can, five facilities that you can man.
Populate.
But within those families, there's also five people. And
all of them have five people?
I think all of them have five people. I'm pretty sure it's always five.
Is it a rule of five thing with this king? He's like,
five.
Always five families, always five people in the family. Sixth kid? Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it immediately.
Yeah,
murder the baby.
Well, what would be cool? I mean, I don't want to get too far off into what would be cool, but the thing with like assigning families to things was really jarring at first because I was like, I've got 15 people.
Yeah.
Why can't I run 15 different facilities?
Yeah.
You know, which is what other games have been like.
Yeah.
But in this, yes, you assign like the family and the whole family runs the thing. But that means that they can do multiple things at once.
Sure.
So there'll be like people gathering the resources, people like processing the resources and people selling the resources in town.
Yeah.
So it's like this whole like system, which I really, really like.
Small family businesses.
Yeah, it's like a small family business.
And it sounds actually cool. I really like that.
Yeah, and because in other games, it's like you assign one person to be the miner. That's it. You need to assign another person to go to that mine and do things back and forth.
Yeah. What I'm struggling now with is I'm just picturing the like little boy, the son of the cobbler, who doesn't want to be a cobbler. He wants to dance or whatever. And and the king says, no, you have to be this is a cobbler family.
Yep. Yep.
It's
what I think would be really cool is because there's no internal growth of your town. It all comes from outside.
Oh, it's people moving in?
Yes, people moving in. And I have played other village management games where there is internal growth. Like Farthest Frontier, you have family, you do have families and children.
I was just thinking it would be really cool to be able to like you throw a festival and that's where people meet.
Yeah.
Like it's a love festival thing. And there's a wedding, so everyone in the village is like they're taking the day off today. It's not great, but everyone's super stoked. So they work faster for the next week or whatever. Yeah. You know, like that would be. I would love that sort of social.
It would help, like having that internal growth from families growing, people growing up, moving and starting their own families. It would help with like to get new people into your village. You need a positive approval rating.
Okay,
and that can be difficult early on.
Yeah.
You know, getting people to come in. So if it was like,
you have five families and they're all bummed. They're all hate you.
And
They don't like.
And so like, if you have a harsh winter and people just start leaving, you are just spiraling downwards, you know?
Okay.
Because nobody wants to come into this like thing that's starving.
There's run downtown.
Yeah. If you had people like populating within the thing, you aren't relying on just the random people that come along. Yeah. And I don't know what triggers, like, I don't know what triggers the time that you get new people. Like, sometimes you seem to get, like, a bunch of people real quickly.
Right.
And then other times you're sitting there, like, with five houses ready to go.
Okay.
Like, and you're waiting around and your approval rating is, like, 70% or something.
Yeah.
And no one's showing up.
Yeah.
You interesting. Know? But if there was a constant, like,
if there's always a chance that someone could have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other games have, like, you see the breakdown of, like, villages and you see, like, children and working age adults, right?
Yeah.
And they literally, like, grow up. So you see, like, oh, in a couple of years, I'm going to have a huge chunk of new workers.
Yeah.
You know, because they are already in the village.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in this game, everyone's at work right away. All five of them.
Yep.
Get in the mines.
Are there kids?
I don't think there are. I don't think there are any kids.
Five adults living in one house. That's a family.
Well, you can click on... I should probably check because I've zoomed around. I've never noticed kids.
Yeah.
But you can click on the house and it shows you... it has these cool like arc lines that connect to the people that live there. So it's really cool. And you can see what they're doing and it tells you what they're doing. So you could go and look. But my guess is that it's five adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's like... It is one of the best village management games I've played.
Despite there being no features.
Despite there being more than half the features are missing.
Yeah.
There's resources there that have no use other than selling them.
Yeah.
So there's tools in the game, for example. And in other games like Farthest Frontier, tools are important. You start with a stockpile of them.
Yep.
And then you are basically trying to... get to a point where you can make your own or buy them from a merchant that comes by. Sure. And that's like a big goal is to like become self-sufficient with tools.
Yeah.
Mm. And I saw tools in this game and thought, oh, it's going to be like a similar thing.
Yeah.
And I saw you can build a smithy that makes tools. Yeah. His only job is to make tools. And it turns out those tools do nothing whatsoever. They're used nowhere. And I've read on Reddit that apparently they were used at one point, but the dev has changed that, and I guess are still gonna figure out what they do. So all they do now, you can build a trading post.
Yep.
And you can put them on there, and they sell for a lot. So really, that's just like the main way I'm making money now is just selling tools.
Yeah.
But with them having no practical value, does feel a little not as interesting, you know, like I'm not giving up anything. You know, I'm not producing so much of something that I am selling it. I'm producing it solely to sell it.
Yeah.
You know,
let's talk about the actual economy because, so you've got these five, let's say five families.
Yeah.
And they're all doing things and you've got one dude making tools.
Yep.
Tools sell for a lot of money.
Yep.
Who's getting that money?
So the region is getting that money.
Okay.
There is a regional money. There is also you as the lord. There is your
I would assume you can money. Tax people.
And you tax people.
Yeah.
This is something that wasn't clear to me to begin with, is that you need to build a manor and you need to build, attached to your manor,
it's called manor lord.
Yeah, sure.
So that feels like a gimme.
Sure. But you also need to build a tax house in the manor complex.
Okay.
So why do you have two gold streams? What's the difference between regional and manors?
I don't know. Right. Your personal gold is what you pay mercenaries out of. Right. So
what?
You can buy mercenaries in the game.
Yeah, I feel like that should come out of the region, right?
Like it just feels like a lot of it can come out of the region.
Yeah.
Because there's also the king's tax, which comes out of your personal... thing as well. So you basically have to be, I guess maybe it's a way of like, yeah, I don't know. There's like two taxes on the people, basically. Yeah. There's a tax from me, and then there's a tax from the king.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if it worked like the regional money is used to actually build more stuff within your region, and then the manor lord's money is to fund his village. And so you use regional money to build a new village, and then you need to use that lord's money to build up that village.
Yeah.
So regional would be to expand, and then individual money would be to grow that village.
So it pretty much, it basically is that. Like regional money is different per region.
Yeah.
Because you can take over the regions and you start a new town in different regions. I have a game now where I've taken over a second region which has a high iron deposit.
Okay.
And each town also has a passive skill tree.
Okay. Does any of it work?
Half of it works.
Okay.
And so you can get into some real customization of each town. So that mining town I've set up, I have gone down the mining passives.
Yeah.
You know, to get like better mining and that, and I've made it so that that mine is basically bottomless now. So I've got like endless iron, which then gets transferred to my main city where all the smelting is done.
Right.
Because I've used up the iron deposit in that main one. And I've also, in my main city, those passives, I've not gone down the iron way. I've gone like
smelting.
A survival way of like, you get extra food, you get extra hunting, you get like all this stuff. So that's something I actually really like, is that each region
you can
really specialize. And that mining town as well turned out it has like better fertile ground than my main city. So now it's not only my mining town, but it's my farming town as well.
So it's everything town.
It's almost becoming, I'm wondering now, is this just going to become my main town?
It's like, hey, this is my founding town. Oh, cool. What's it got? Well, you can hunt.
We make tools here.
You can smelt.
Yeah.
And you're going to struggle to survive, but not, you know.
Well, it's got.
Whereas next door, endless iron and food. So do whatever you want. That's fine.
But this is what I find interesting is that as I've evolved these two things, I'm like these two regions. Now I'm like, maybe I actually just shift all my iron stuff over to that other town, build that town up larger because it has like a way better like food supply with with the farms and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, what does my main thing do then?
Is it plausible that your village has something that you just don't have, you haven't discovered yet?
Like, every region has access to the same resources.
Okay.
Right. But some of the regions, every region will have at least one.
Like a special resource.
Not a special resource, but like they are better at that resource. Yep. Like, I can't remember, like a rich deposit of something.
Sure.
So my main region has a rich hunting ground.
Mm.
So I basically have endless meat.
Yeah.
You know,
lots of pelts.
Lots of pelts and all that. So. That town might actually just be the cloth making town now.
Yeah,
you know,
or wonky meat.
Yeah, or wonky meat.
Yeah.
What? Why wonky meat? What are you talking about?
Because it's not like you're raising cattle.
Oh no, it's deer.
So you're going out and you're getting wild meat, game meat. Mm. Yeah, that can be wonky,
I suppose.
Yeah, lots of parasites.
Delicious parasites.
Yeah, but they add to the flavor.
Yeah, sick cunts.
Yeah. That's how they got sick.
Got brain worms.
They got those brain parasites. Yeah. Okay. What was I saying? So every region can specialize in something.
Yeah. Sure.
So my home region, it has rich. It has rich hunting, and it also has rich clay.
Okay.
So it could become like the clay. I don't know.
Clay kingdom
or something. And you need clay tiles to progress. You need clay tiles to progress to the next through the levels of
Boy, I sure hope someone doesn't discover like a use for iron or something because we got a lot of clay. Oh no!
You're not okay.
Iron Age. Yeah. Oh no!
No! Well, what about the clay age? Remember the clay age? No,
everyone. You tried my clay knife, clay sword. Anybody? Clay sword.
No.
Wear the suit of clay armor.
You need clay for certain things.
Made of bricks.
Like there's buildings that need clay. You know,
clay buildings.
You turn them into like tiles and stuff like that. It goes through a whole furnace process, and
so that'll become the kingdom of pottery.
Yeah, it'll become the pottery kingdom. Yeah. But that's something I really like. And then I'm looking at the rest of the map, going like, okay, what other regions should I take over?
Oh, because you can't beat the lord that took it over.
Well, here's the thing: I have because of all those tools I've been selling, I have like thousands of gold. As your town gets bigger, as the population gets bigger, the recruits to your army, the pool of recruits gets larger.
Sure.
So I think I can probably like match him now.
Okay.
And I've been internally making my own weapons, which took me ages to figure out.
Oh, I remember.
It's not. Yeah, I told Fabian about this at work. It's really not clear how to make weapons or a bunch of stuff that you need to progress to the like tier three, like basically upgrade your town and progress through the actual game. It's semi hidden.
And it's not through the smithy, right?
It's not through the smithy. You think...
You do it at the clay workshop.
I built
all those clay weapons.
I wouldn't have been surprised, to be honest. You would think you build a smithy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got like smelting iron brick, iron bars. You've got the smithy that's like just making tools. And I'm like, surely I must be able to like make weapons here.
Yeah.
That's not where you make weapons at all. Okay. You make weapons at people's houses.
What?
That's what I thought.
And here's the thing. So hang on, stop.
Yeah. What is the logic behind that?
Oh, like, I'm going to tell you. I'm about to tell you. So when you first, when you place houses, you are dragging out like an area and a like highlighted things show up of how many houses are going to be there, right?
Sure.
To begin with, you can make like houses with like large back gardens.
Yeah.
And you can get those gardens making like carrots and chickens and stuff like that. And they add a little bit extra resource to your pool of resources. But early on, I was like, that costs extra wood. And early on, I'm like, I don't want to spend extra wood. So I'm going to make just small houses with no backyard.
Yeah.
And I made one of these towns out of all those houses, those types of houses.
High density.
Yeah. Then I find, I was like, oh, look, I'm doing pretty good. I should make some larger houses now.
Yeah.
And this was after, like, hours of me, I was just trying to trade for weapons. And it was, like, tanking my region's money.
Yeah.
Because weapons are super expensive. And so I had, like, I barely had any money, which means my personal account, I barely had any money there, which means I could barely ever pay... mercenaries to protect against the bandits. Sure. It was a struggle, right? And then I built these houses with backyards.
Yeah.
I clicked on them, and then there's this drop down for extra things in the backyard, which, you know, I knew you could do carrots and goats and chickens in the backyard at tier one house.
Uh-huh.
If you upgrade them, you can have weaponsmiths in the backyard. You can have like clothing in the backyard. You can have.
Everyone's a blacksmith now.
Yeah.
And what is the point of making a smithy if they're not going to smith weapons?
Exactly.
I don't know, man.
But the thing is, there is a drawback because when you turn one of those into a weapon smith, they essentially become a shop.
Yep.
And everyone in that house basically becomes making that thing. That's their job.
Yep, yep,
so you can't just like go through and go boom, boom, boom to all these houses because suddenly you'll be like, why is like I
why,
me
why
suddenly
I have
not
no
getting
food
enough
food anymore? Yeah,
yeah. And you're like, oh, because everyone is like building weapons.
Yeah,
you know,
your woodcutting family becomes a smith family.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can change them back, surely, right?
I don't know how to do that.
So
there's no
in world lore, manner. The Lord walks up to your house and says, "You're a weapon smith now." Okay, great. And then 5 minutes later, actually, I need someone to make food. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
I'm a weapon smith now. Because
you can assign.
I've got all that knowledge. Yeah.
You can assign families to. You know, like wood cutting and stuff.
Yeah.
But because this is at their house, you can't unassign someone from a house.
Can you not change what's in their backyard? It doesn't matter.
I actually don't know. Maybe you can.
I did read that like if you have a farm in their backyard, I don't know about smithing.
Yeah.
But if you have a farm in their backyard, they still do their main job of collecting wood, but you'll start collecting less because they're also running a farm in their house.
Right, okay.
So
there is a give and take. Like
they become less efficient.
You might not want every single house to have like a thing in the backyard.
Yeah,
because
that
then
makes sense.
I ran into a thing where like I was running low on food, so I did a load of backyard things. My food started getting manageable, but then my firewood like cutting was like way down, and that was the thing that was like threatening my settlement because people will freeze to death with no firewood. And so I basically had to just build more firewood places and assign more people to these firewood things. And I think it's because I
had all those backyards.
I had these backyards.
So you needed to be a bit there's selective.
It is like, I would like a window. Basically, I would like a spreadsheet in this game
that shows
who's working on what, you know? Yeah. And how efficient they are.
Is there not like a tab that shows the jobs?
No, there's no jobs tab, which is tough because then you have to basically click on all these houses. Because there were things where it was like I was like low on food in this main region.
Yeah.
So I built a load of extra hunting stations because I have this rich hunting thing that never runs out, so I can basically like overhunt it and it's fine. Sure. After a while, I was like, why is my food still low? And I checked, and I was like, oh, I actually haven't assigned anyone to these like hunting stations that I'd gotten built like half an hour ago, you know? So, but if I'd, in a game like Farthest Frontier, you just bring up this like tab with like all the jobs, and you can just clearly see, and it's much easier to juggle people around. Like if you get into a hard position where it's like you need to get more food or get more firewood or get some other resources, you can look at this, this list,
take people off and put them back on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like
it's like Age of Darkness.
Yeah, yeah. And yes. And it's like you do that in this game, but you have to physically go around and click on all the things. So you kind of have to remember where everything is.
That sounds like a bummer, honestly.
And then when you're dealing with multiple regions as well, it can get like.
So again, what makes this game good?
That. I still like that. The whole thing. Like, okay.
It's annoying and I don't understand it and I didn't know about this. I didn't know you can make weapons. And everyone was starving and they're running out of firewood. They're going to freeze to death. And I love it.
Yes, okay. It kind of is. Like it scratches this really great itch of village management and region management and like setting up these little towns that are specific for one resource. Like that mining town I set up was intended just for mining.
It's cool,
and you can you can get a town very quickly to be sufficient enough with just the enough people to run that mine.
Yeah.
It's when you start expanding that you run into problems. So now that I expanded into food.
So are you saying the game is encouraging you to not grow?
The game is encouraging you.
Strategic growth.
Yes, it is strategic growth.
Okay.
Like I will put down a load, like for example, I will put down a load of houses, like, you know, maybe like seven, like nine houses, but I will... You know, ready.
6, 7, 9, whatever.
Whatever. But I would, because I do it in threes. That's why.
Okay. 6, 7, 8, 9.
Nine is a good number. Yeah. But then I will like pause construction on a lot of them, you know, so they're just ready. They're just sitting there ready to be built because I don't want a massive influx that I can't handle.
Okay.
So I will.
Can't you assign the influx to the things that they need to support themselves with?
Well,
like okay,
not necessarily.
Nine houses.
Yeah.
Three of you do food, three of you do wood, and like we have that are for whatever other things you want to supplement.
I mean that's fine, but like my starting region, for example, I basically have a massive farm and the fertility of the ground is not so great that I need more people to make the food and it's never enough food.
Okay.
And I've got so many people hunting, but it's still never enough. It's like,
well, then that sounds like a doomed village. If you can never get enough food,
no, it's
you've
got region. Everyone working. It's literally the region because
so give up on that region.
Well,
right?
That's why I'm saying maybe I should shift everyone to this much better
the game
region.
Have started you off in a region where you can't.
It's
get
not
enough food.
The region isn't like it's not. It's not like
you have
a wasteland.
Do you have like too many people that you can't support that much people?
I think I have too many people in my main region, and my main region alone cannot support that many people. Like it,
the food region can't support its own people
hunting,
with food.
Hunting doesn't produce as much meat. Like this is the thing: farming is way, way better.
Sure,
but the amount of people you need to farm, there's also a period where you're not getting food because it's growing.
Sure. I know
there's
how
a
farm
whole
works.
Balance to go. Yeah, there's a whole balance here. And if I was in a region, where maybe hunting wasn't the rich one, you know, and it was another one, and the crops weren't, the ground wasn't the best for crops.
Yeah.
That would be even tougher because, like, you can overhunt, you know, and then you just don't get enough, you know. So this is what I also like about the game is because you look and see these regions.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this neighboring region has much more fertile land, so I'm going to make this my farming thing.
Sure.
And I start off being like, okay, they're going to ship grain or whatever, bread to the other one. But then I'm like, maybe I just shift that.
Maybe
to
I
be
ship
the, main...
the people the other way.
That would be,
This sounds exactly like your kind of game.
Yeah.
Hyper complex, lots of systems, so much to manage and do. It's just like work.
It's just like work. It does run into, there are quality of life things like a big spreadsheet of who's working on what would be nice because if I take over the winning goal I set for this game is to take over every region.
Yep.
I don't necessarily have to build on every region.
You want to own it.
Yeah, you want to own
other people out.
Yeah, yeah,
sure.
But
have they talked about the roadmap for this game much?
It is only a small dev team. I think it's only like 3 dudes or something.
Sure. But yeah. do you know, for example,
I don't know
like when they think they'll be done.
I need to go and look for this because
there are so many features that are missing. And
yeah, I know.
I like these kinds of games to a degree.
Mm.
And if I'm going to commit a bunch of hours to one, I want it to be a good one that has all the things that it needs to be fun. This game looks very pretty. The portraits, I love the portraits. It really
looks nice. There's just talking about the graphics for a minute. They have a real, like the landscape has a really realistic feel. Like when you're looking out over it, it just feels so like real.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of it is, like this haze that is over everything when you zoom out. Sure. You know, it feels like you're looking at a, you know, from an airplane, you know, it has that realistic like haze. Whereas like other games, you know, Farthest Frontier, you can still only zoom out so far, but it's just like crystal sharp everywhere.
Sure. They've got a small kind of roadmap here.
Yeah.
It just talks about like fixing bugs related to homeless settlers, balancing arches, adjustments to tune down trades oversupply, slowing down the AI's rate of claiming territories.
Like you said.
Improving storage efficiency of saw pits. Naval battles, more village mechanics.
Wait, what did...
Naval battles?
What did you say?
It says naval battles and cavalry. More village mechanics, including walls, fortifications, and guns.
Yeah.
Variety in late-game economics, new map types, sieges and castles, and AI cities. Those are some things we're looking for.
Those honestly sound... Given what you've described so far, those honestly sound like it'll be being worked on for another 4 years.
At least.
Yeah. I do worry about this kind of thing, because... This is a classic case. Yes, it's a classic case of shows some promise, and then the follow through is what matters here.
That's right. Escape from Tarkov's been in beta since 2016.
Yeah, that's bad.
Still in beta.
That's bad.
Well, I agree, and because these guys, this is a new developer and has been working on this already for like years, and is clearly passionate about it. Is like really, really like talking to people.
Yeah,
like I've seen them in the Discord, not the Discord, the
subreddit or whatever.
The Reddit, you know, like they're very much
communicative.
Yeah, communicative. Yeah. But yeah, there is that worry that it just ends up kind of never actually coming out.
Not just that, but like the fact that there used to be tools, and now I mean the tools used to do something, and now they don't do anything.
Mm. But now it's like tools. Figuring out what is that.
Tools should just be a resource for when you want to build stuff, right? So you need to build tools to build a building or something like that.
It's a complex thing to give any sort of a requirement for building in a game where you can't necessarily produce the thing that is required.
That's true.
But Farthest Frontier, because, I mean, tools are in Farthest Frontier, the exact same resource, and they're used in the more advanced buildings, you know. So the first tier of buildings, just fine.
Yeah.
As you progress through, if you want to keep going, you're going to start needing
tools. Regardless of, I'm just using tools as an example. What I'm saying is, this is someone who is still in the tinkering.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are features, large sounding features that he wants to add.
Mm.
Things like being able to build a letter.
Yeah.
That you have described, which are untested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got them on this roadmap.
Those will most likely fall by the wayside.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he may put them in. It may make the game worse.
Mm.
That's 6 months of development down the drain. These are real considerations for an early access game. It's always scary. There's a lot of polish in some of these areas, it sounds like.
This is what hits me as well. It's the most highly polished.
So that's my question.
Early access game I've probably ever seen.
I've worked on an early access game that had a very highly polished thing.
Mm.
And then they wanted to add a whole new set of features. And it was hugely problematic.
Yeah.
So I worry. I'm interested in this game.
There is always that worry, for sure.
You could just get Helldivers.
Well, hey, Blake, let's get Helldivers.
Wait, is it available in your part of Auckland?
In 2 weeks, we'll talk about the next drama.
I don't think I have a Sony account.
Doesn't matter. You don't need one. took it away. It's not mandatory now.
All right, we're out of time. We'll find out with the next Helldivers drama. is...
I feel like I barely scratched the surface of Mana Lords.
Well, we can talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again.
Because I am interested to hear more.
Yeah.
I just, when I hear about lots of significant incomplete features and the level of polish that it has in some areas, and then like all these kind of confusing aspects and what they want to do, the level of ambition, I get very nervous.
It is very, very ambitious.
Yes.
Especially, I like...
For a solo dev or a small team.
What you're saying, like NPC cities and stuff like that, I feel like the map is going to have to be like...
Naval battles is a wacky one. Like, I would assume there's no systems that currently...
There's nothing, right?
Are there even bodies of water?
No. So there's one map, which is called the Early Access map.
Only one map.
There's only one map.
About all these features.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary stuff. You know what? I hope they prove...
I mean, I really hope they do because it's so good.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for them. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Thanks, guys, by the way.
Paul will be back next time.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how he's doing. If he's still alive.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
Don't have to listen to my droney voice.
Good having you for a couple weeks.
Love having you on, Fabian.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We'll be back in a couple weeks. If you want to email us, frenzyquestions@gmail.com, you can do that. Tell me why. You can say, Nick, why do you hate Mana Lords? And I'll say, I don't hate Mana Lords. I want Mana Lords to succeed. I just worry.
I
worry about you, Mana Lords.
Say, Nick, when are you going to get Mana Lords?
When am I getting, or Helldivers.
Or Helldivers.
Or any video game, really. Yeah. You know, there's a good chance I'll be getting Animal Well. That's the one I'm looking at.
Animal Well?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All right. Bye! Have you been playing Helldivers?
I played a couple of rounds this morning.
We can talk about the Helldivers drama.
I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, we can.
Really? How is it not?
Because, like, we're not really news, right? Here's how our podcast works.
No, but I think it's
something happens in between 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then we go, this stuff happened, and anybody who listens to this podcast is so already aware.
But isn't it?
And then there's still a full like 2 days before the podcast comes out.
Yeah, look, we're not breaking news. Nobody's coming here for their breaking news.
No, exactly. So what is the point of talking about?
I don't even remember anything that we've talked about that is like, this is the hottest thing right now.
We talked about E3s and stuff.
Barely talk about E3s. Mm-hmm. Usually, I barely even watch the E3s.
They don't exist anymore.
Well, yeah. But when they did, like, I actually struggled to be like, oh, shit, I better, like, watch all the trailers.
Yeah.
We don't care anymore. 10 years ago, I used to get up early in the morning and watch, like, E3, and it was, like, a big thing. And then as time went on, I just, like, didn't care as much. And, like, I would just eventually see the trailers throughout the week kind of thing.
12 years ago, I was at E3.
Wow.
That's when it was still a thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, it was before they even had the consumers.
What was that for?
I was at IGN.
Ah, right.
Although I guess like six or 7 years ago, I was at E3 to promote PoE.
Yeah, yeah.
5 through 10.
Yeah, I think I remember that. That was at the Microsoft booth, right?
Yeah, we were at the Microsoft
booth. Yeah.
Crazy. I got